Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today we're going to look at sweeping the floor. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, we are so grateful that you are engaged in our lives, that every little detail, every little aspect of our life, you are acquainted with. That God, there's not only the big things in our life, but everything that we do is of interest to you. And that you are always looking for ways to draw us closer to you. Father God, we thank you for our time in the scriptures today. We ask you, Father, to open your word to us and open us to your word, that the light of your word may shine in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, today we're going to look at sweeping the floor. Now, this may be a rather unusual and a kind of impromptu little series we're doing. But as you know, last week, or as you may not know, I don't know, last week we looked at doing the dishes. And our beloved Apostle Kizzy laughed and laughed. She so enjoyed it. And she said, oh, I can't wait to see what you do with vacuuming and scrubbing or whatever. I can't even remember what all she said. But I said, okay, we'll take up that challenge. Anyway, in with that, my very good friend, who's over here a lot, she actually kind of took some delight in the fact that she's the one kind of helped me with doing dishes that day, that when I was putting them away, the message came to me that we should go there with that. And she kind of took delight in the fact that she was part of that inspiration. So this last week, she had been over here helping me with a project, and so she again gets to be part of the inspiration. We were taking down all the Christmas decorations in the house, which was sort of a bigger job than maybe we'd thought, and certainly took us, we actually got a big job done in short time. But as you know, once you take out these things, and of course, like with the trees, they always leave needles behind. And of course, they've also been placed in places where you haven't gotten to them in a while. So there's other little dust and debris that has collected under there in the meantime. And as I'm sure a lot of you realize, there's more than one way to sweep the floor. Most of us, a lot of the time, do the very traditional, quick, run the vacuum over the traffic ways. We kind of pick up the dirt that's in plain sight. And that's good. That works most of the time. However, this last week was more than that. This last week, bless her heart, she not only had the vacuum out, she got the attachments out, the thing to the little tool that clean along the crevices because so much had collected since we had put the tree there. So due to that, we're going to talk a lot about different ways of sweeping the floor. And yes, that's something that Jesus actually talked about. So I figure if Jesus can talk about sweeping the floor, we can talk about sweeping the floor. Let's open our Bibles, if we will, to the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke. And remember, we're going to get back into the gear of that. When we look at any passage of scripture, there are some things that we have to consider even before we read the scripture itself. One of which is, as you know, all the gospels, the versions of the gospel. There's one gospel, but all the versions, all the accounts, they're all true, but they each have a different, each author, each writer had a different assignment, a different focus. And so the facts that they bring forth will be in alignment with that writer's specific assignment. For example, we're going to take a little matter before a commission this in a few weeks. So we all got together here and we divided up, okay, you talk about traffic and you talk about the history of here and you talk about this and you talk about, we each took an area of interest so that we weren't all hitting everything, that each area got covered, and all the testimony together is our case for it being resolved in the manner that we see the best for the city. Anyway, so it is with the Gospels. Each of the writers, while they all tell the same story, they each have a different emphasis. And as you know, Matthew, his emphasis is on the Levitical side of it. It's showing Jesus as the Messiah. And so there's a great deal more of the proving it from the Old Testament scriptures. There's a great more deal of the teaching that before Matthew, all the people were in the synagogues and learned these things as the Christians are coming out from the synagogues. Then Matthew also included those things that Jesus said that would assist them to still have that teaching. Mark was to show him as the wonder worker. He's the servant. And so its emphasis is on his actions. There's not a great deal of embellishment in details of things. Luke, however, is writing to also show the humanity. It shows the Jesus as the Son of Man. And so there's a great deal of appeal to those disenfranchised elements. It shows Jesus dealing with, of course, the sick, dealing with the widows, dealing with the outcast, dealing with the lepers and the born blind and all those things that show his humanity as the Son of Man will be found in Luke, while John deals with him as the divine. I know I say this a lot of times, but the more you hear it, the more you think in those terms as you read. So just that I have said, turn to the book of Luke. We know that this will probably cast Jesus in the light, as he is, of the Son of Man, and will show his humanity. That's why in Luke, many times the stories are of the more humble, of the discounted from society. There was a time, and I hope the time never comes again, but it may, where women are not treated as equals in society and are not treated with dignity and respect. And this was something that concerned Jesus. And so, but this is a book in which you will find these stories. More stories are about the women in the book of Luke, and of course then the book of Acts, because that's the continuation of Luke. You will see the role that women play. Anyway, so Jesus tells this story about this woman. It's called a parable. That means he tells a story and the story has a purpose or a moral or a lesson to be learned. Doesn't mean it isn't true. It means that the emphasis of the story is on the conclusion that we draw from it. All right, I'm yammered on a bit now. So we're in Luke chapter 15. And this is what he says. Either what woman, we'll back up so you know what the purpose of it is. Now, we're going to see it in another light as well today. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise, this is Jesus speaking, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. We'll read now 8 through 10. Either what woman, having one piece of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there shall be joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. So Jesus is using these, the focus of his story and the one that preceded it about the shepherd is over the joy that is shared by many when one who is lost is found. And the first one talked about sheep. The second one talks about a coin, a piece of silver. But we're going to look at this and see what is embedded in this story. So let's just read 8 again. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle. And if you see the other one, the previous one story talked about a sheep that is lost. So what we're talking about is something that once belonged to the shepherd, once belonged to the woman, and is lost. It's sinners who repent, yes, but it isn't necessarily of those who did not know God or did not, you know. This is talking about the restoration of something that is lost. And the kind of the subtext of that in there is with the shepherd, there were 100 of them. So it's easy to mislay one. This one, it isn't just gold because there were 10, you could mislay one, but these are coins that you don't bring out very often. I'll get into that in a minute. So this has to do with sometimes we can overlook things, either by the minutia of our day, of our the momentum of our life. It can be the all the events that overtake us, the day-to-day rituals and expectations, that we can let something slip because we were not, I won't say vigilant as though that were the fault, but that it's a common experience for us to lose something that we once had. And I think, and that then this story tells about restoration. Many times when we need something from God, many times the things that we ask for and we can cry for, it isn't because we never had it. It's that we had it, and somehow when we went to get it, we lost it. Remember the story of the 10 virgins. They all had a lamp. Well, they just didn't, 5 of them didn't realize that they didn't have that oil in there until they went to use it, until they needed it. So many times there are spiritual things in our life that we kind of think we've got in our, you know, bank account, or we've got in our, you know, our junk drawer, wherever we keep our spiritual things. But then when we really need it, see, a lot of times, day to day, you think that things are faith. Well, they may not be faith. They may just be that it's not been tested or tried. There's not a crisis in which you need to go get that. You know what I mean? I presume most of you keep your driver's license in your wallet and you just put it in there and then you go driving every day. I can't tell you the last, I can't tell you the last time I needed my driver's license. I only used it as an ID. I've used it several times for an ID. But when the last time I actually had to produce my driver's license to prove I was a legal driver, it's maybe been years. It would be easy for me to mislay it because I don't need it for that purpose often. And yet I want to keep it current, don't I? The same thing is true of many spiritual aspects of our life and even non-spiritual aspects, various things that we think we've got in our pocket. And then when we really need them, it was just the illusion that we had them and we didn't really have them anymore. Somewhere we've mislaid them. Either the shepherd let the sheep wander off or this woman has somehow lost her coin, mislaid it. Okay. So that is what it is. And there are a lot of things in our life that we all of a sudden think, oh, Lord, I used to be, fill in the blank, I used to be more prayerful, or I used to be more joyful, or, oh, I used to be able to quote those scriptures and I can't do it anymore, or I used to be kinder or nicer, or I used to be more caring. There's so many things that are a part of who we are spiritually, and then we somehow, over the course of time, just thinking they're there, and then all of a sudden we realize they aren't. That's when we need restoration. Maybe my introduction's been way too long. Hope not. Anyway, so this woman owns these 10 pieces of silver. Now, these are not just ordinary. It's not like, well, I got, my friend and I were going to go downtown the other day, and so we aren't used to going places where we actually have to have coins for the parking meter. So he said, do you got quarters? No, do you got quarters? And we both rummaged around and found I had some quarters in the bottom of a drawer. And it's like, oh, okay, I've got quarters. That's not what we're talking about. These 10 pieces of silver were ornamental. They were very significant. Most of you maybe have seen pictures, say, of like the Bedouin women who have like on their scarves or on their clothing, they will have coin, what look like coins, little medallions, metal pieces attached to them. And of course, they're very pretty. And, you know, even Old Testament, remember how when the prophet talked about the women of Israel, who used to be very circumspect, that meant they walked very demurely. Now he says, I hear they tinkle when they walk. You know, that it, what it's talking about is like, say, these coins on the inside of their clothing, like or like an ankle bracelet even, and they have coins on them. If you walk in such a way that you kind of, you know, swish in a little bit, if you know what I mean, then you can get them to jangle and you can draw men's attention. But if you walk in a very demure way, you can walk without jingling those coins. So you see, this is something, at least the one way or another, you are aware of. Well, what happens is in the wedding ceremony in this culture, the groom will walk around the bride, I don't remember exactly how many times, but will circle the bride several times, and she's seated on the floor with her hands in her lap, and then he drops these 10 coins in her hand. It's significant of the marriage. It's the same thing as a wedding ring. A wedding ring shows the world that you are legitimately married and you're valued. You have a symbol, an emblem of gold. We always talk about the symbol of the ring and how it's endless and how it's made of gold and all those things, because it is a symbol. It isn't just a token. It is a symbol. And so these 10 coins represent the woman's marriage. She doesn't pull them out all the time. She would wear them to special occasions. She'd wear them to somebody else's wedding. She'd wear them to some kind of like high function. But, you know, you all have certain clothes that you only pull out, certain shoes you only pull out for special occasions. And it's amazing how if they're in the back of the cupboard, they can get lost. Well, she has a trunk or a box that she keeps these coins in. And maybe she was getting ready to go to a wedding or something, and she was getting them out, and all of a sudden she realized, I no longer have 10 coins. I only have 9. Now, some of you know the panic when you've taken off, like, your wedding rings and you put them up on the edge of the sink to do something or the other, to do some scrubbing or washing or whatever. And you go back and it's like, oh, my gosh, they're not there. And you just panic. It's not just that you lost a piece of jewelry, but that it's this is this sort of self-indictment that something so valuable and significant to you, you are careless enough, you didn't take care of it, you don't know where it is, and you start tearing the house apart. You start doing everything to find those things, okay? You start praying, Lord, where are those rings? It's like that. It wasn't just, oh, she mislaid a quarter or something, and we've all done that where you got to pull all the cushions out of the sofa in case they fell out of your pocket. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that was a spiritual significance to her. Her marriage, this was a covenant with God as well as with man. And the symbol of it, these 10 coins, she only has 9. And so it isn't just the normal panic if you lose a quarter. This is something very important. And she has no idea when this happened, because it may have been quite a while since she pulled it out before. But so now she has lost something. When she went to find it or went to bring it out, it wasn't there. That can be with all of us. That's what restoration is about. When there's something that we thought we could count on and it's gone, it's not there when we need it. It can be self-confidence. It can be a sense of humor. It can be good health. Something that we just took for granted was there until it was challenged. And then all of a sudden we go, oh my goodness. You know, family can be like that. And any number of things that are important, but because they're always there, you don't think about them. So she lost this coin. Actually, you know, Jesus said she lost it. She mislaid it. It was there all along, wasn't it? But here's what she does. Jesus says, I know what woman. It's like, what everyday, common, ordinary woman wouldn't know to do these 3 things? So he's saying this is very common sense in this realm. And yet, in a spiritual sense, we don't do these 3 things. Okay, we'll get there. What woman, having lost or having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, she doesn't go, I still got 9. She does 3 things. She lights the candle, she sweeps the house, and she seeks diligently till she finds it. Then when she finds it, she calls the neighbors and friends and says, rejoice with me. You know, if it were only like she lost $5, you don't call all the neighborhood in to rejoice. But here's another interesting aspect. She didn't post on Facebook, oh my gosh, I don't know where this is. She didn't call up everybody and start saying, whining and complaining and panicking about it. There are times you share with people who will pray for you and with you, people who can help, or people who are in your corner. Yes, you do need to share. I'm not saying we don't share. But to just put out there a complaint or a worry or those things, she kept her mouth closed until after she found it. Then she called them in to rejoice with her. One of the things I've learned in ministry is that people are very, very, very free to call you when they got a prayer need or when they're panicking. Oh, this and this may happen. I may lose my job. Oh my gosh, you know. And so you go, okay, it's okay. I'll pray with you. And you know, and so you diligently are praying, and you don't hear from them for 3 weeks. You run into them at the grocery store and say, well, how's that going? How's the job? Oh, no, nothing's wrong. Actually, I got a promotion. And it's like, you can call me when you're panicking, but you can't call me with a follow-up. This woman was wise in that she didn't call all her friends and neighbors in, because some of them really wouldn't necessarily. They might just laugh at her, or they might make fun of her, or they might just, serves her right, or any number of things. People are not always as compassionate and caring as we like to think, even those people who call themselves friends. But afterwards, she called them in. After she found it, she said, "Now rejoice with me. You feel free to broadcast your joy and rejoicing, not necessarily every trouble or problem you have, because there may be somebody out there be just glad that you got troubles." Anyway, so she doesn't call in anybody. She does three things. So when we come to that point, we realize there's something we've let slip in our life. We aren't as, I'll say, spiritual as we were. We aren't as patient as we used to be. We aren't as something or the other. We aren't as diligent studying as we used to be. What woman won't do three things? Number one, light the candle. Then number two, sweep the house. And number three, seek diligently. Okay. The number one thing is light the candle. When there's something that's gone awry, gone wrong, when we're missing something in our life, much of the time the last thing we want to do is shed a light on it. We want to cover it up. We want to keep it in the dark. We want to continue to make, make excuses for things. We don't want to face the truth about it. The first thing you have to do is light the candle. The light always speaks of truth. Light the candle. If you, there's an old joke, very old joke, about a man who was searching under a street light, looking, and, you know, so a passerby said, you know, kind of started to help him, was looking down under the street light, and then said, "What are we looking for?" "My keys." "Oh, you dropped your keys." "Okay." So they keep looking. So finally, the stranger says to him, "Well, okay, exactly where were you when you last had your key, or, you know, you dropped your keys?" He said, "Oh, I dropped it over there in the dark corner." He said, "But the light's better over here." We have to shine a light in all our dark corners. If you really want to clean out a cupboard, you know, I've got a way of, you know, how you kind of just tidy things by kind of restacking and reassembling them. But when you really want to clean out a messy place, you got to pull it all out. And like I say, make a bigger mess sometimes, you know. Then, so if you want to redo, you've got to shine the light on those places that we've just been letting go. You know, it's like close the door on it and nobody sees it, you know. And even in our heart and our soul, you got to shine the light in there, because sometimes there's just some stuff we haven't wanted to face. So she lit the candle. The very first thing you have to do is let the truth shine in. You can't seek for what you've lost if you're not first willing to let the light shine in, the truth shine in. Secondly, she swept the floor. Okay, and that means you may stir up a lot of other dirt. You got to be willing. That's why I told you, my friend, you know, there's the easy way of just going through the pathways, you know, the traffic ways, pick up the dirt. But she got out, she got the attachment, the crevice attachment, going down in the crevices. She even pulled, boy, she's better than me. She pulled out the register over the vent of the floor and cleaned all that. That's the kind of cleaning you need to do. You need to sweep the floor when there's something. You light it, then you sweep. You pull everything out until you get to the everything is clean. And here's the third thing. And most of the time you think, well, if I just light the candle and sweep, I'll find the piece. But the third piece is this. You seek diligently. How many times, there was something I was looking for on the counter in my kitchen. I was making, and I thought, oh my gosh, well, maybe my friend came over and took the same ingredient. You know, we need stuff. Oh, take it. I'm hunting everywhere. Did I go out in the garage for something? Did I open the refrigerator three times? I look at the bedside table. Did I come back to answer the phone? Any number of places. I couldn't find it. It was in plain sight right in front of me on the counter the whole time. I felt a little silly, but that's the way it is. If you just take a quick look, you can look right at it and not see it. The commitment to change is that you seek diligently. When we've lost something, you know, when there's something we want to reincorporate back into our life, we have to be willing to continue and continue and continue. Let me just use the example. Say you made a commitment to pray more. I used to pray so much, and now sometimes 2-3 days go by, I won't pray, something like that. Well, you know, you get up and say, every morning I'm going to get up and pray. So you pray for 1 day, you pray for 2 days. Oops, you missed day three. Day number four, you get up and go again. You're not going to break a bad habit instantly. You didn't make it instantly, and you're not going to break it instantly. You have to be diligent. You have to keep at it and keep at it and keep at it until you find that thing that you've misplaced, that joy in the Lord you misplaced, that intimacy and time with Him that you misplaced. We've all been there where you seem like you pray and you just have dry spells where it's like, God, I hope you're hearing me because I'm not hearing you. And you may have to keep at it. You don't give up. And so Jesus is saying that when there is something that was a part of you that has been mislaid, something of value and importance to you, you do three things. You shine the light of truth in that area, and then you sweep the floor, not just with quick sweep through the traffic ways. You get that crevice tool out. You move the furniture. You do what you have to do to get it totally swept. And then you keep at it. You don't just run over it once. You know, I do that. You run through the room once, and then you look back. I got to go over that area again and again until it picks up all the things that I've let fall down onto the carpet. You have to be willing to do those three things. And those things, while he is talking about repentant sinners, is true of anything in our hand that we mislay. Those three steps are true. He says, what woman doesn't know to do three things? Number one, you let the truth come in. Number two, you sweep. You get in there and move things around until you find it. And number three, you stay at it until you regained that which you've lost. Then you have the joy of calling your friends and neighbors in, calling the angels of heaven in and say, rejoice with me, because that which I thought I had lost for good is back in my hand again. And I know that this may be of value to you. If there are things, sometimes we spend so much time trying to get from God what we already had, trying to regain it. We want it over again. But the truth of it is that if we just keep track of what we have more. We don't need more. We need to utilize and not lose that which we do have. If you've ever seen a toddler eating on a plate, all the food's there, and they chase it around with their spoon, and then it looks like they don't have any food. Well, it's all on the perimeter. It's all scattered everywhere. And so you're helping the child eat. You gather all the food back together, and let them start eating. You don't need more. You just need to know how to regather that which you have that you don't see anymore, you know, that let him that hath, excuse me, that's not the scripture I wanted, but that's the one that always comes to my mind. But anyway, that when we say we don't have, that just is simply a matter that we aren't seeing what we do have. Anyway, we'll cover that one sometime. That's on multiplication, but it's still the same principle. You have to, you know, when you say you have nothing, you still have something. You're just counting what you have as nothing. So my prayer for you this week is, as we kind of look over our lives, and there are things, I wish I still had this. I wish I still had the energy when I was young. Well, we may not get all that energy back, but maybe we will learn how to regroup with the energy that we have to serve God in the ways we wish to serve him. My prayer for you is that you come behind in nothing, that you may have everything you need. And if you think you don't have it, that God will give you the wisdom and the diligence to regain that which is in your hand. It's not lost. It's just lost to your sight, that you may find it again and call all of us in to joy and rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Looking forward to being with you next week.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Myth airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's G-I-T-M Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.